Want to know our best-kept hosting secrets?
They're all inside our STR Must-Haves Master List, our secret weapon that continues to transform ordinary host into extraordinary host.
The Must-Haves Master List is a checklist that we've been perfecting for over 12 years.
Picture this: your guest checks into your short-term rental, and they're instantly wowed by the thoughtful touches and impeccable amenities. Why? Because you've got the TFE Must-Haves Master List by your side.
This checklist has all the insider secrets that even the best hosts didn't know they were missing.
We challenge you to take the checklist into your property today. See how many items you can mark off of this list. You didn't get them all? No worries. This is your chance to level up. So go to hostchecklist.com and grab your free copy. That's hostchecklist.com to download our coveted checklist today.
You're listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. We believe hosting with heart is at the core of every short-term rental. With Annette's background in business operation
and Sarah's extensive hospitality management and interior design experience, we have welcomed thousands of guests from over 30 countries, earning us over $1 million and garnering us thousands of five-star reviews.
We love sharing creative ways for your listing to stand out, serve your guests, and be profitable. Each episode, we will have knowledgeable guests who bring value to the short-term rental industry.
Or we will share our stories of our own experiences so you can implement actual improvements to your rentals. Whether you're experienced, new, or nervous to start your own short-term rental, we promise you'll feel right at home. Before we dive into the content, let's hear a word from our sponsor.
Hosting hot tip. You know how we're always on the hunt for awesome pieces for our short-term rentals?
Well, we're going to let you in on our secret weapon. It is Manoan. They have steep discounts on over 100 top brands. Think Wayfair, Article, West Elm, Crate & Barrel, Pollywood, Parachute, Bello. The list goes on and on. But these discounts are for hosts and designers for hosts only.
I had my eye on this awesome coffee table from Wayfair, wanting to give our listing that wow factor, but you know us. We are all about having our numbers dialed in and staying budget friendly.
And that's where Manoan stepped in with an awesome discount. And here's the kicker. Becoming a member is totally free. Yes, I said free. F-R-E-E. No cost to join. No monthly membership. It is completely free. But these discounts are exclusive. You do have to be a host or a designer for hosts.
Once you're a member, all you have to do is head to their site, install their browser extension, which makes shopping so, so simple, and purchase and fill your shopping cart in just a few clicks. And it's not just furniture and decor. Restock your most used items anytime you need to refill your supply area.
Exactly. And the best part, again, no catch. There's no fees, nada. Just major discounts waiting for you. Being a Manoan member is like being a VIP host without breaking the bank.
So head on over to ManoanExperience.com. That's M-I-N-O-A-N experience.com, or just simply click the link in our show notes and sign up and let the savings begin.
Hello, listeners. Welcome back to another great episode. My name is Sarah Karakayan.
I'm Annette Grant, and together we are
Thanks for visiting. Let's start this episode like we do every week, and that is sharing one of you, our listeners, who's using our hashtag STR Share Sunday on the gram. If you're using it there, we'll find you. We'll celebrate you and all the amazing work you've done to your property. And then we'll share you on Instagram on Sundays and then here on the podcast to our entire email list. So make sure you use that hashtag. Who are we sharing this week?
This week, we're mixing it up a little bit. We're going to share a place that we just stayed.
Ooh.
So that's a new mix too. If we stay with you, we can highlight
you.
Yeah,
get bumped up.
Yeah. So we are sharing at Tree Bones Resort. Yes, you heard that correctly. At Tree Bones Resort, T-R-E-E, Bones, B-O-N-E-S, Resort. And let me tell you, it is on Big Sur's coast of California. And it was
incredible.
A once-in-a-lifetime trip that Sarah and I booked last minute and had an unbelievable stay and almost ran out of gas.
Now we have to tell the story.
Well, we'll tell the story after we highlight Tree
Bones. Okay.
Please go to their Instagram, get carried away and feeling as if you are there. The couple that owns Tree Bones, they are really trendsetters in glamping. They have been doing this for decades. And this is so remote. They have yurts. They have cabins. They actually have this like open human nest that you can sleep in.
It's incredible. I would never stay in it. But for the right person, it's a giant nest.
It's like a twig hut. It is unbelievable. You are in. It has an outdoor mattress for sleeping if the weather permits. So it is incredible. But their Instagram too, like you're going to see it. They have so many followers and you're going to know why. Like this is really a wish listed place. This is on people's bucket list. I've never stayed anywhere like this. Every corner that you turn or you look, it is absolutely breathtaking. And you're going to see it in their profile. One thing that they do a lovely job of, and hopefully you guys can put this on your list of things to focus on in the future, is sharing when their guests share them and reposting them. So if you want to put some sort of note in your messaging to your guest and just, hey, if you could share some moments of your stay, that way, hey, let's make life easier on ourselves. If you can have user-generated content and you can reshare it, there is nothing better than someone creating content for you and you being able to reshare it. And Treebones has really mastered that by using guest photos, guest videos, and highlighting the stays that they have there. But I mean, just take a look at it and you will see they also do a really good job of highlighting all of the reviews that they have and then guest shares. So check it out at Treebones Resort and do yourself a favor, put it on your wish list.
Okay, we ran out of gas.
But make sure to get a lot of gas before you travel up Highway 1.
Yes. Annette and I are smart women. I have no doubt in my mind that we are smart. We think ahead. We're planners. What went wrong?
Well, it was a rental car.
That's not an excuse.
Okay. It was a rental car. Here's the situation. We were a little novice in understanding Highway 1 in California and how remote Treebones really was, and that there had been a lot of damage on Highway 1 the year prior. So we were unaware of some of the gas stations not having gas or not being open. But we're not joking when like it was pitch black outside. We needed to be there by a certain time. We are literally on the side of the coast and
the windiest of roads. And yeah, so there was a gas station. There is a gas station right before you get to Treebones. So the whole night we're like, oh, we'll just stop there. We'll get some gas and then we'll take the 2-minute trip up to Treebones. It'll be great. Except because of the remoteness and because of other factors, we didn't even think to check to see if this gas station didn't have gas or was closed for business. It was closed for business. So guess what? The next morning we realized, or when we were checking out, we realized, you know, we don't have gas to be able to get to the airport on time.
And they were like, oh, there's a gas station at this city. Well, or closer, but it didn't open till 11 a.m. And we needed to get gas before 11 a.m. Thankfully, I mean, we literally would have, and I was like, oh, I have AAA. And the guy's like, good luck. Like no one's going to drive up here to give you
gas.
So Treebones, forever indebted. They are remote. So they have gas on site for like their equipment and they have golf carts and other things. And they had extra. I might have paid a premium, but I wanted to pay. They did not charge us for that. They were going to help us. But it was
clutch.
Yeah. And it made us feel really ill prepared.
But hosts out there who have remote properties, it could be a good little safety thing for you to have like a tank of gas. Maybe you all already do this.
Oh, I wonder how Justin Ford's going to feel about that.
I mean, I think, yeah, having gas that you can gas up anything that might help you, whether it's chop down a tree so you can get out or anything that will help you operate your property, because that was something that we weren't anticipating and they were prepared. So good on you, Treebones. Thank you. All right. It is May and it is, Annette, what are we calling today, this month?
Money Making May.
All right. With who?
Price Labs.
No. I mean, yes, but with profitable Price Labs, would you call it?
Pricing profitable properties with Price Labs.
There we go. Okay.
Alliteration times four.
Wow.
But the reason we're talking about Treebones too and Price Labs is we got the minimal amount of gas to get us down Highway 1 to our airport, which was in San Luis Obispo. And our guest today came right up to us at the airport. And as you, Sarah and I were a little stressed because we were like, are we going to be able to get gas? Are we going to run out? We got that. But you know how you kind of have those moments and it takes a while to come down from them. So we were still wondering if we're going to get there. Okay. This amazing gentleman came up to us at the airport.
Please reenact what he said to us.
I went, are you the thanks for staying girls? And we were like,
you were like, yes.
Yes. But
yes,
then,
we are.
And then we corrected him, of course. Love that he came up to us. We're going to get into that episode, but you're going to hear throughout this episode what we want to help everybody with. And our guest, Michael, was way underpriced when he got started and left a lot of money on the table. He's crushing it now, but you can hear it's one of those mistakes that he made and he will not make again, because he'll share about his journey and other properties and how pricing software has been an integral part of him setting up properties after he made some errors when he first got launched.
And pricing your property is a very important part of hosting, because you don't want to leave money on the table, especially in 2024, now that the marketplace is really normalizing. You have to be able to optimize every single night that you have available to your guest to price it appropriately. And we use Price Labs in our hosting business every single day. And they are obsessed with helping hosts, so much so that they have live workshops every week. And so for the entire month of May, pretty much starting today, we are going to be talking about pricing appropriately, and how you can use software like with Price Labs to get that perfect pricing. They also have some really cool products inside of their platform that I use as a realtor and as a property manager. So when I have people who want to buy a short-term rental, or they have a short-term rental they want to put on the market, we use the marketplace features that Price Labs has inside of their software to understand what those projections are going to look like for the that exact property in that exact area, plus the whole pricing software that they're known for. So all month long, we're going to have Instagram lives. We're going to have podcasts around pricing. If you get our newsletter, and if you want to be in our newsletter, go ahead, email us, hi@thanksvisiting.com. We'll get you on the newsletter, but our newsletters will be around pricing. Let's get you all priced right this month. But as we do that, you're going to love the story with Michael, because he also leveraged seller financing, which is another big topic here in 2024. He leveraged seller financing to get an amazing deal in New York. I can't wait to tell the story. Michael, welcome to the show.
Thanks a lot.
Michael, I want to know, since we met at the airport, we love this story. We love that you came up to us, and I think maybe you botched our name a little bit, but I'm here for that. I think you're like, are you the thanks for giving? Thanks for visiting.
Thanks for staying.
Thanks for staying. Okay. Hey, we're here for it. It's all good. As just a human and doing uncomfortable things, was that uncomfortable for you? Were you like, should I say hi? Because it's brought us here today. So this is just kind of a lesson, because I stutter a lot, or I stop myself from doing things that I probably should do that would get me to other places. So I want to know, when you saw us out and about in the wild at the airport, were you just like, you probably had no expectations, but what pushed you to just come up and say hello to us?
I love that question. Yeah, absolutely. Like, my heart was pounding in my chest. I was like, oh my gosh, is it really them? But I couldn't not say something, right? So. But yeah, and then I told, like, you know, my business partner and my brothers who are in this with me, that have properties with me, and my wife, and they're like, wait, you just went and said hi? I'm like, yeah, of course. But yeah, I was like, and I think part of the reason I botched your name was because of that, like, rush, you know, it's like totally clouded my ability to think straight. So yeah, thanks for asking about that. I was like pretty much shaking while I was trying to introduce myself.
I'll say that it was flattering for us, Michael, too, because a lot of times our podcast has been successful and we have, you know, longevity and a lot of episodes, and I don't want to discount that. And thank you to everyone who listens. But at the same time, sometimes it feels like no one's listening because you're just talking to yourself half the time. And, or like, you see that there's downloads, but like, who are the downloads? And like, thank you to you, because it was really such a lovely end to our trip in California, which had everything to do with real estate investing. And it really was just a nice little, like, okay, people are listening, we're helping, we're doing the thing that we set out to do. So thank you for saying hi and for doing that. It meant a lot to us.
Yeah, that's our invitation to anybody. If you ever see us out in the wild, please come and say hi to us. And Michael probably doesn't know, we probably had the most not inviting faces, because we were in Big Sur and literally almost ran out of gas, had to ask the host where we were staying
for gas
to get us a couple of gallons to get us to our next location. So we were, and Sarah, I'm just going to say it, she had gotten pulled over by the security at the airport and had to get rid of a lot of her her toiletries. So we were probably standing there just like, you know, oh my gosh, what a day. But you completely made our day. And we are so excited to have you on the show because not only did you make our day, you were on your way. We'll get to this at the end, but you were on your way to see a property across the country you had just bought for the first time with your partner. But your story, Sarah and I were so encouraged by it. We were so inspired by it, and we wanted to share it. It was after talking with Michael for quite some time that we were like, oh my gosh, we've got to have him on the show because his story is wonderful. So let us know how this teacher turned, well, real estate investor, still teacher, how you were doing all the things and what started it all for you.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, thanks for the invitation to share my story. I'm definitely, I guess I should start with the disclaimer that I'm definitely still a newbie and learning as I go and all those things. But yeah, we started out, my wife and I live in the Central Coast here in California. And it's, you know, it's expensive. It's really expensive here. And we were teaching, saving all that we could. And, you know, right around 2018, 19, when we started really trying to find a house that we could set roots here because we knew we want to stay. We were just getting priced out of everything. You know, we were finding these little like starter homes and it's like 600,000. And we're like, great, we can just make it work if we stretch our budget. And then we would have like 15 other offers competing with us and it would go up 10, 15%. And we were just like getting desperate and feeling so discouraged. So at some point in that process of looking for a home, we kind of pivoted a little bit and thought, what if we find something that has a little rental? If you could just pay for, you know, even a third of our mortgage, then that would like give us the opportunity to, I guess, extend our budget just a little bit, right? So long, long story short, years of searching, right around the end of 2020, we found this fixer-upper. I mean, it was rough, but it had an apartment above the garage and we went for it. I mean, we went 51,000 over asking price and, you know, I'm an open book. So it was listed at 650. We bought it at 701 and we put everything we had as our down payment because I didn't really realize at the time that you don't need to put 20% down, but that's one of the lessons learned, right? So we put everything we had into it. And then like, because we were basically broke, I was in there myself, you know, with friends or with family, ripping out all the carpets that reeked of smoke and like crawling under the foundation to fix up posts and like basically learning how to fix a house, you know? And it was funny because I told my dad, I'm like, yeah, we're going to buy this house. We're going to fix it in 3 weeks because that's how long my winter break was. and we had a 3-month-old at the time. We had, you know, just had our first baby. And my dad's like, you think you're going to do this in 3 weeks? And I was like, yeah. He's like, no. It's going to be like 4 months. And he nailed it spot on. It took us about 4 months to get it livable. So in the meantime, we had to go move in with him and my mom. So thank you to my parents who made room for us. And, but you know, we cranked it out, we moved in and then we turned the upstairs little apartment into a short-term rental. Cause one of our friends from church said, hey, you should try this short-term rental instead of a long-term. And I was like, that's a great idea. We've stayed at Airbnbs. And then I guess the moment that the light bulb went on, you know, it took us a while to get that Airbnb ready to go and then listed because we were focused on just getting our part of the house livable first. So this was like June, like 6 months after we bought the place, 2021. There was just this like, it was this pivotal moment for us where we launched our little Airbnb on a Tuesday night at like 11 p.m. And when I woke up the next morning on a Wednesday, so it was like middle of the week, right? I woke up the next morning and we had like 5 bookings overnight. And that was the moment where I was like, oh my God, what did we just do? This is going to work. We're going to be okay. So that was huge for us.
I seriously have goosebumps right now.
I love that story.
That is awesome. Are you strapped? Like you said, you're an open book. How strapped are you at this point in time to make this work? Is it paycheck to paycheck? You said you'd put everything in. Like, how did you even, you got these 5 bookings, but how did you even design this and have enough money? Do you're putting on credit cards to put furnishings in there?
You know, we got pretty creative, I'll say. So a little bit of marketplace finds. And when we bought the house, some of our good friends, they gifted us an hour with an interior designer. And we used that for our own place. But it was this lady at our church, Susie Fittler. She's an awesome interior designer. And when we started working on the Airbnb, we're like, she does such amazing work. She goes above and beyond. We brought her on board and it was just like, I don't know. It was magic. You know, she like came in and did the work and just again, went above and beyond. The amount that we paid her, I feel like she more than paid us back by saving us on some of the decisions that she helped us with. I was ready to pull the trigger on like getting some blinds installed blinds, window treatments. And it was going to cost us like thousands. And then she's like, dude, you can just get these ones at Walmart. They're way cooler looking. And it saved us thousands probably. So that having that, like her perspective on things helped us so much. And we still get comments to this day just about, oh, the place is designed so cute. So having that, the right person for the right job, that interior designer, that was huge and ended up saving us money actually. So, to answer your question though, we were super tight on our budget for sure. And I think my in-laws at the time gave us some money to use to fix up the place. Thankfully, at the time we were both, actually, I think at that point, it was just me working, but I had a consistent income with teaching. It was a little dicey for sure, but we made it work.
Give us the stats on the above the garage unit, like how many bedrooms, how many bathrooms, how many do you sleep? And then the stats on what those five reservations, the money after that one night sleep.
Yeah, I know that looking back, we were way underpriced, hence why we got so many bookings. Okay. So I was like, okay, all right. I think even one of our guests that booked that night probably told us like, you guys should be charging a lot more. So, I think we launched it, you know, this is before I knew anything, right? So we weren't using like a dynamic pricing tool or anything. So I want to say that we were priced around like 150-ish a night. And this is like peak season for us, you know, versus now, like with the pricing tool, you know, if it's a holiday weekend or something during the summer, we've gotten the bookings for as much as like 400 and something a night. But back then it was like, hey, we're doing it 150 a night. And those bookings all just got a steal of a deal. But you know, that still, even just that exceeded our expectations. Cause in my mind, I was like, hey, if we can just cover part of our mortgage, we're good. And then what we found out pretty quickly was that this is actually going to cash flow for us if we do it right.
Wow. So, ooh, all right. Well, and how many do you sleep at this above the unit garage?
Yeah, so it's a one bed apartment. It's like a 600 square foot place. So we have the main bedroom has a queen. You can sleep two in there. And then we have a sofa sleeper so that we can comfortably, I would say pretty comfortably, we can host up to four. We have had guests that have stayed with five. I think that's the max so far. And we just tell them up front. They ask, hey, can we bring a fifth? I'm like, it's up to you, especially if it's a child or something. They're being in like a pack and play, or we'll let them borrow a pack and play. But, you know, we tell them like four is pretty comfortable. Five is definitely like you're going to have to get creative and it's going to be tight.
Right.
So, yeah.
And how close is this garage unit to your home, to your wife, to your children, to where you're living? Do you share parking?
It's pretty close. Yeah.
Do you see all of your guests?
Yeah. Yeah. Not all of them, but a lot of them we do. Yeah, for sure. You know, our house is the downstairs unit, and then there's the garage kind of on one wing of the house, and it has its own separate entrance, but the apartment is directly above the garage. So when I'm in the garage, I can hear them walking around because they're right above that. It works out okay because we don't spend a ton of time in the garage. You know, we can't hear it when we're in our house, other than sometimes we can hear the entry door opening, but that's about it. So it's just enough space. And that worked out really well starting out because it helps us keep tabs on the place a little bit easier.
So are you still cash flowing on this property?
Yeah. Yeah. So we just, you know, looked at our numbers for 2023 and our gross revenue was just over $50,000 for the year. And then our mortgage and all that stuff is just a little bit less than what we bring in. So
that's amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. We get to live in the house basically free. It makes a little bit of extra that we get to put into savings for all the other investments that we've started.
That's right. Are you still all about it? Like, do you plan on being here for a while and continuing with the short-term rental activity?
Absolutely.
I love it. Okay, so then take us to this next. So then this wasn't enough for you. You guys want to invest out of state, nonetheless. I don't want to spoil alert too much here, but talk to us about this deal. First of all, yes, how you found it, but how you found it as a teacher and a father of a very young child.
Where
two.
Did you find
they
the
have two now.
How did you find the time? Because I know that for a lot of people, it feels like, give us the whole
and
scope.
Hosting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Are you asking about the more recent ones, or are you asking about our Central Coast?
You know what? We know a little bit more about this story. So yeah, you got bit by the bug for sure. Mm-hmm. Let's talk, because you've made some other investments since. So yeah, let's go through all the investments and then the one that we just met you on. So because this was your first real estate investment, right? Correct? Your primary residence?
Yeah. First time buying a house.
Okay. And then you've got some more under your belt. So you get, when you get bit, because you're a realtor now. Were you a realtor then?
No, that's pretty new. I've been, just about a year. I've been a realtor for a year and change.
Okay. Because I think you made an investment with some family members after your success. So let's go through how your portfolio has grown. I know our listeners will love that.
Absolutely. Yeah. So after we, launched that first Airbnb above our house and it blew our expectations out of the water, like you said, I got the bug, right? So I started searching up podcasts and just kind of became obsessed for a while and still kind of am, So what I did was my brothers and I, they've always been interested in real estate investing. And I was like, let's do this thing together. And for a while we were looking at like Houston and doing a multifamily and all these things. And I was like, you know what? Like, I really have loved doing this short-term rental thing. And some of the podcasters, I don't know how much attention I should give to other podcasts.
It's all good. We're friends with them.
Not as great as TFP.
There you go. You're good. Now you're fine. Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah.
So anyways, but Rob Built and Tony Robinson, they're huge investors in the Joshua Tree area, which is not too far from us. Like I can get there, in 5 hours of driving. And my brothers and I were kind of scattered across California. So it was like, let's try that. They're doing it and it's working. And long story short, we kind of just like bought at a weird time. It was the middle of 2022 when rates were just starting to explode. But prices were also like still at a kind of a peak. Long story short, we bought this little house and put a ton of effort and work into it just to be competitive. And we still have that one. We're still running it. This past month of March was like, I feel like finally we're like turning a corner. Because it's been costing us more than it's making us up till this point. So hopefully, fingers crossed, we're like getting that one on track. But what that whole experience, really the biggest takeaway from that was like the importance of doing your homework beforehand, picking the right market, because, we were kind of going based off of like, well, it seems to be working for everyone else that they're doing Joshua Tree. And then when we got there, we realized like, oh, we just like, we tried to like jump in to a black belt level. And we're competing with all these guys that are way more established than us. And it's been tough. It's been so hard. So we're doing our best to make that work. But, after that experience, I knew I wanted to keep going, even though it was tough. But I just wanted to do it way different. So I bought Tony Robinson's partnership book. And then through that, met some people because there was like a Slack group. And one of the guys that I met, he was like, hey, let's sign up for a course together. With this guy, Kirby Atwell, who does like he has his own little group of, he coaches people basically. And his whole approach is picking those markets that are like under the radar and then picking places that are multifamily. And I, because of exactly what I experienced at Joshua Tree, where he's like, hey, rather than getting into the places where it's super competitive, where the small little homes are going to cost you close to $500,000. You can go to like the Midwest, let's say, and there's like little homes that you can pick up, little multifamily for a fraction of the cost, and you're still turning out a great cash flow. So I was like, hey, this sounds awesome. And then meanwhile, I'd also had gotten my real estate license and just started calling everybody. I was going to try and like follow David Green's footsteps, but yeah, found out that I'm not so great at that either. So that's been tough, man. These guys make it look so easy, let me tell you. But anyways, so through that process was calling a bunch of people and connected with an old friend that was also, a fan of some of the podcasts that I'd been listening to and wanted to get into it. He'd done his own little kind of house hack. And long story short, he was like, we kind of decided let's partner up and find one together. And he's the one that found our latest property, which was the one that I met you all on the way to go set it up. We're flying out to New York and upstate New York, a little town called Altmar. And we found these three little cabins on this 1.25-acre property. And that's the one that like the third unit we just launched it last week. So I don't know when this podcast might air, but But this is, I just flew out there early March to go stage it. And now we're just getting it ready to go for the spring season.
Tell us how the deal structure.
Yes, we are amazed at this buy. And we want to share it with everybody because you've got yours now. I know you're still on the prowl, but what were the non-negotiables you and what's your partner's name? Let's give him a shout out.
Yeah, Cal Comita. He's a great guy. Okay. Just been an awesome partner to work with.
Okay. Give your brothers a shout out too, because they're partnering. We'll get back to the brothers.
Oh, yeah. Brian and Thomas. They're great.
I love it. What was in your buy box for this next property? You said multifamily. Did you have the price? I know there's one huge one that knocked our socks off. So give us the breakdown of what you guys were looking for.
Yeah. And I think the big criteria that makes this one so unique that you guys were interested in is that my partner was really looking for something that was seller financed. My big things were like, hey, I want to pick something that's not a super competitive market yet. And we want to pick something that's multifamily. And we want to pick something that basically fits our budget, which I was looking for stuff that was like under 300,000. And then my partner was like, hey, why don't we try and find something that's seller financed? And I kept trying to kind of talk him out of it. I was like, you know, seller finance is tricky because it's like, you're going to limit your options a lot. And he's like, well, let's just see what we find. And I was looking at Midwest, and unbeknownst to me, I mean, he had just been looking all over the map. And there's other parts of the story I'm like finding out later on too, where it was like a joke that he found this place, right? He showed a buddy, he's like, oh, check this one out. And his friend took his phone and like hit the button to like request a tour with the agent or whatever it was. And he's like, well, I'm this far now. I might as well share it with my partner. And that's when he shared it with me. And he's like, hey, what do you think of this one? So I started doing, you know, the analysis and stuff. And was like, this could work. So yeah, that's in a nutshell, you know. Basically, it was just Cal scanning the map. And I think he typed into his search criteria, seller finance, multifamily, and it popped up.
And so, is this on Zillow? Like where are you guys looking exactly?
Yep, Zillow.
Just Zillow. Okay. For everyone who might not know Michael, I was also I grew up in Bigger Pockets, and I always loved it when Josh and Brandon would remember us newbies out there who didn't know what the heck any of these things were. Like, I like to pretend I did back then, but like I was like going on Google and searching. So what does seller finance mean for this deal? Like what were the terms? Why was this seller
wanting to finance it?
In financing it for you? And what are the terms?
Yeah, great question. Yeah. And I still Google search those terms, you know, I'm like, what? So anyways, seller finance, basically the idea is instead of going to a bank to get your loan to purchase the property, the person selling it to you, they basically act as the bank. They say, hey, we'll sell it to you and just take the down payment ourselves. And then you can make monthly payments to us instead of having to get a loan and all that stuff. And the short version, I mean, you probably know more about it than I do, to be honest. But the short version is that it benefits them because, first of all, they're getting to collect interest, right? In addition to the principal, right? Mm-hmm. So instead of a one-time payout, you know, we bought the cabins for $263,000. So instead of her just collecting, hey, here's $263,000 today, and you got to pay out your agent and you got to pay all the taxes. Instead, she's getting the 20% down payment, and then she's getting a payment every month. And that payment, as you guys know, it's like when you buy a home, you know, the initial payments, the first few years, it's like most of that monthly payment is just going to interest.
So sad.
Touching the principal, right? You're like, principal is barely going down a little bit every month, and then it snowballs, right? And then later on, but what that means for the seller is really, at the end of our deal with her, because we have a 5-year balloon payment, which basically means that, you know, in 5 years we have to refinance or we have to pay her off or whatever. So at the end of that 5 years, the amount of principal that we've paid off is going to be like kind of minimal. So she's still going to collect a pretty good chunk of money from us. And she's been able to collect from us every month, which, you know, is a great deal for her too. And it also benefits the buyers because, you know, we'd be paying probably a higher interest rate to a bank at this point anyway. We ended up getting this place. She gave us some different options, but what we decided on was with a 20% down payment, that she would give us a 6% interest rate, which, you know, that I know the interest rates right now are kind of fluctuating, but since we were looking at DSCR loans, which is debt to service coverage ratio, which is basically like what you use for investment properties instead of primary, we were looking at those kinds of loans and they tend to be higher than the standard rate anyway. So we were looking at like, I think we were looking at close to 9% when we were trying to get loans. So when the seller's like, hey, we'll give you 6%, I'm like, that's amazing. Let's do it, right? So that was, it's a win-win for everybody, right? In a lot of cases. And I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if like this becomes more common as people become more familiar with what it is. I think that there's maybe some hesitation for people to use seller financing just because there's a lack of kind of understanding of what it is, but it really benefits both.
Sarah.
What?
I want you to take a guess how much we are going to spend this year on Airbnb and Vrbo fees.
Oof. I feel like I should know this number off the top of my head.
It's okay. Just make a guess.
16,000, 17,000?
Wrong. Over $50,000.
What?
Yes. I'm on Hostly's direct bookings ROI calculator right now, and I plugged in our stats. And yes, based on the number of bookings we anticipate for this year, that's how much Airbnb is going to charge us for fees.
That's crazy.
I know. But I've got some good news for you. Since we use Hostly as our property management software, the calculator is letting us know if we continue to improve our direct booking strategy, we can save over $15,000 per year.
Wow, that is good news. Plus, we know this. When we make it our goal to improve our direct bookings with Hostly, we will have more control over our cancellation policies, guest database, and our overall branding differentiation in this crazy growing industry.
Yes, plus our bottom line.
Yeah.
So listeners, please give Hostly's direct booking ROI calculator a try for yourself. And we bet you'll be excited to learn more about Hostly's award-winning property management software and their integrated, built-in, out-of-the-box, completely customizable direct booking site for your hosting business.
And thanks for visiting, listeners. Get $100 off when they use code TFV100 at checkout. That's right. Use code TFV100 when signing up for Hostly's property management software to get $100 off.
My understanding is like you miss a payment, you default, she gets the property, right? Like if that happens with the bank gets the property where she's still sitting in the same position, if not better, because she has the property, you're 20% down and all your payments. And then secondarily, I would think from her perspective, I believe she wanted to retire, correct?
That's correct.
She would, this is probably a lower tax burden for her if the payments are over like 5 years versus a lump sum. I'm thinking capital gains. I'm not sure for her particular, but I know sometimes people, it might be a tax situation for them if they're wanting to sell or finance. But I think the huge thing is too, they still get to own the property if there's any sort of default at all instead of the bank. The bank owning
totally.
It. The owner, when you guys talked about the seller financing, was she very like, your friend pressed Zillow, like, let's do a walkthrough. Obviously, you guys are in California. You don't do a walkthrough, but what are those first? Are you both still using realtors? What are the discussions with seller financing? Is it you and her face-to-face on Zoom? Like, did she have a couple of different offers? How long did that process take with the seller financing?
Yeah, great question. And one of the big takeaways that I got from the course I took with Kirby Atwell is he's a really big proponent of when you find a deal like this, it's going directly to the seller's agent. We reached out to her and we said, hey, would you be interested in being a dual agent? Would you work for both of us, right? And basically what that does is it streamlines some of the communication because now instead of me talking to Bob and Bob talking to Mary and Mary talking to Lisa, right? The game of telephone, right? You're like, wait, did the message even get across? You know, and then it's got to go both ways and it gets just really, you're cutting out at least one more person. So we're talking directly to the seller's agent and then she's able to talk to the seller and it's a little bit more streamlined for sure. So but basically, she gave us some pretty clear options with the seller. That is, the seller gave us some pretty clear options about, you know, if we wanted to have a lower interest rate, we would have to put a bigger down payment, which we considered for a little bit. But we decided to go with a smaller down payment and a 6% interest instead of like a 30% down and 5% interest or something like that. Because we feel like leveraging the debt in a way that's smart is really what's going to help us scale. So putting a little bit less down is a big advantage for sure. But yeah, you know, we never talked directly to the seller until we closed. And I feel like that's just a really good little safeguard that a lot of real estate agents use to kind of keep everyone protected, is they want to make sure that, I don't know, I guess I don't really know why they do it that way. I know it has to do with just, keeping everyone's best interest in heart.
Yes. I don't do a ton of transactions, obviously, like my expertise in property management, but the transactions I've done, there's a lot of emotion in buying and selling, and a deal can really go sideways if you aren't, you know, if a good agent isn't going to relay the emotion that someone might be having, right? They can come at it from a fact, right? Keeping it really emotionless as possible and just stating the facts with the buyer or the seller.
So facts over feelings.
Facts over feelings instead of getting all heated because of whatever. So yes, I agree that it's, and dual agency is tough sometimes too for an agent. So I do want to caution everyone, like make sure it's a good experienced agent, because that agent does have to represent both the buyer and seller's best interests without sharing either client's information in a way that gets the deal done and not showing favoritism, which I think is an art. And so you want to make sure that you're working with a great agent. It sounds like you were. And so you guys got the deal done. When it comes to looking at what happens after the deal is done, which Annette and I, this is what we think a lot of people in the short-term rental space don't do, is really understand your operations from you got the deal, here you go, but how are we going to get this to a place that's where it's profitable and it's stabilized and you guys get to a point in 5 years where you can refinance? Just planning all that out, Michael, what were some of the things that you had to do to get it ready for you guys to make it your own? Like, what were some of the things that you have planned to make it ready for you guys to rent out and to make some money on it?
Yeah, great question. There's definitely a lot of prep that goes into it. I mean, it starts with just analyzing the deal and really being conservative. I mean, again, that's one of the lessons I learned from Joshua Tree, right? Whereas there, you know, I talked to our agent who was also a real estate investor, a short-term rental host, our Joshua Tree agent, and, you know, she was like, oh, your estimates are too conservative. And I wish I would have gone with my initial estimates, because, you know, we're in a bind now where it's okay, we're not hitting those initial projections, right? So setting up the analysis so that you're being really conservative and really diving into, you know, what is my competition look like, right? And that was another great strategy I learned from that Joshua Tree agent. Actually, she was like, hey, we use the enemy method, right? So you go on Airbnb and you look at your area and you're like, what is my competition doing? How much are they renting for? And then again, my coach, Kirby Atwell, he's like, hey, you even want to go through and click on a listing and look at the reviews. And he's like, look at the dates of the reviews, right? Because if you're looking at, oh, they get great reviews, but the last one they got was 6 months ago. And then the one before that was another 10 months before that, or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, you want to see that they're getting consistent bookings and consistent reviews. Because, you know, if they're not, then that's kind of a red flag that maybe this area is not, doesn't have the demand to support it. So anyway, being conservative, really diving deep into the research. And then what we found with this property was that there were some areas for improvement, not only like, oh, it could be updated, you know, renovated, but also like just implementing some systems. I think she was using a flat rate pricing. You know, she had like one price for summer and one price for winter. But there wasn't any like dynamic pricing going on. And I'm also pretty sure that the way it was listed, and again, this isn't like trying to knock what she was doing, because she was doing a great job with what she had and like meeting her goals. You know, the previous seller, it was like doing awesome, right? But for us coming in, buying it at a higher price and really wanting to expand our portfolio, it's like, okay, what areas can we tweak the systems that she has in place to make it better? And that was one of the big ones, was like, hey, there's room for growth because we can just put it on a dynamic pricing tool and that's going to increase our occupancy. And at times even get us bookings for those peak seasons at higher prices than we would have. You know, a cool story to that point. I had no idea that there's like an eclipse coming up in a couple of weeks here. You know, and New York just happens to be right there on that line for
it's called the path of totality. I just want to say that. I wanted to say that. Thank you, everyone. And I did Google that last week. I wish people could look at our Google searches. So you're on the path of totality.
That's exciting.
Yeah. So our cabins are on the path of totality, which means that instead of booking for 150 for that weekend, we actually got all three listings booked, and each one for around 400 a night. So I'm like, whoa, like we almost just covered the mortgage with one single night.
Boom. Love that. That's awesome.
So that pricing tool was like, that's what it's all about right there is, you know, the $20 that you spend per month for the pricing tool is going to more than pay for itself. Mm-hmm. So doing the prep work of, okay, we're getting an idea of what this could be renting for and trying to analyze it correctly. And then moving from there to find what other ways can we improve and expand and whatnot. So, you know, we've given it a facelift. We are currently talking through if we want to expand, you know, we could turn the storage room into a little studio unit, or, you know, we could build some glamping sites on there, which is another thing that, you know, I would love to ask you all about because you guys are just entering that space and it's fun to geek out about.
when we met you, Michael, this was a Friday afternoon, right? Or one of those days. Who knows? Maybe it was Saturday. You were leaving the airport to fly to New York to meet your business partner. Was it 48 hours? How many hours did you have? You were showing me some pictures. You had a general contractor in there. You guys had been doing some facelift from afar. Mm-hmm. We want to know, like, what was the plan to get done that weekend? And what did you really get done in that amount of time? And how much did you sleep? And how many energy drinks did you
consume? And did you sleep in the property? Because the GC was told, didn't GC tell you, like, you cannot sleep here? Like, it's not sleepable. And you're like I'm going to be sleeping here. So, great.
Oh, man. Yeah, I love that your questions just, set it up so well. Because you already know where this is going. So, you know, we were flying out there. Again, we bought this place like end of 2023, like a couple days before the new year. And this is, you know, I'm flying out there March 1st. And thanks for trying to be discreet about the date I was flying out there. I think I told you guys when I was there that I was taking some sick leave days. I think it's safe to share that now because I'm transitioning jobs into sales. So,
boom. Okay, we can say. No, I want to share that. Like, Michael took a sick day. Like, he is making it happen with what he's working with right now. And so we applaud that. Those are your days. You'd earn those days. But so you were taking that sick day. And you are on a very strict schedule right now. And you're also leaving your family. What did you get? Were your flights on time? I feel like things were delayed. Did you even get there on time?
One of my flights was delayed, but it was the last connecting flight. So it didn't make me miss any other flights.
Okay, cool. All right.
Yeah, so I made it. Thanks for asking. I appreciate it. But yeah, we had set out to go out there and see the property for the first time, which is a little risky for sure and adds to the adrenaline. And then we were setting out there to basically stage the furniture and take the photos. And then get the place like launched, right? I mean, that was basically the goal of like, let's have all the photos by the time we're leaving so that first thing when we get home, we can launch this property and have it running for the month of March, right? Mm-hmm. And long story short, you know, I mean, you know how it goes. We didn't sleep almost at all. I think I, you know, got maybe like 4 hours a night and the place was not ready like it was supposed to be. So we had to pivot. We had to make a few different kind of pivots on like what our expectations were, what our goals were. And the biggest one was just that we were going to stage two of the units because we had renovated two of them. The other one, the third unit, we left it as is. That one's already been running. We just, you know, we figured, hey, for our budget and for the time, let's just keep that one as is and let's focus on these two. And when we got to the property, even before we got there, you know, our cleaner was the one telling us like, this place is not ready. You guys are not going to be able to sleep here. I was like, whatever, we're just going to sleep.
Time out. Where's this cleaner? Is this did you inherit this cleaner or did you have to hire a new cleaner?
Yeah, we did. We inherited this cleaner. He had been working with the seller for years and they had a great relationship. And she's like, she's kind of like the mama bear of the place, you
Perfect.
Know?
Yeah, we love that.
So, which is so helpful because another story for another time when we had the con man contractor, as I like to call him, the first guy that we hired, scam us out of a bunch of money. The cleaner was one of the people that told us like, hey, there's some red flags here. So, you know, having the right people for the boots on the ground is, oh my gosh, can't understate how important that is. So anyways, so she was texting us like, you guys, it's not ready. You're not going to be able to sleep here. And we're like, we're going to have to, like, we're going to have to, because we don't have another arrangement. So we get there and one of the units is 90% ready, but the other one is like maybe like 60% ready. Because what happened was the contractor, you know how it goes, he started getting into the walls and under the house and finding that there were more things that needed to be fixed, which delayed the project. And so we had to kind of adjust and go, okay, we can focus all our energy on this one property that's 90% and it's good enough to where we can do the photos. And nobody's going to notice that, like, it's the wrong size toilet in the bathroom, right? But the other place, we're like, okay, our stretch goal is we'll get a few photos. But it's not going to be ready for all the photos to be completed. And that's basically what we accomplished was, you know, we got all the photos we needed for the place that was ready. And then the one that was almost ready or 60% ready or whatever, you know, the contractor kept working while we were there. And he got it close enough to where we could get some of the photos of the living room and the bedroom. But we're going to have to, you know, send someone to finish it up and do the bathroom photos and the kitchen photos and all the other stuff that probably the exterior too, that kind of stuff. So, so yeah, it was definitely an adjustment. It was adjust as you go. And we busted our butts and we did what we could.
Where were you having everything delivered? I know listeners are probably like, well, how are you like getting, ordering things and having them there ready for you? Is it just your team on your boots on the ground is bringing it in, or do you have them delivered somewhere else? Logistics.
Yeah, great question. Yeah. We had most of the stuff delivered to the property there, you know, and then we have a handyman and we have a cleaner that we inherited. And then we have the contractor that we hired. And between those three groups, I guess, it was like there was almost always somebody there. And they were kind enough to move those furniture pieces in. Actually, the contractor even opened the couch for us and put the legs on. And so when we got there, it was like, oh, this is a nice little visual of what it could look like, you know? So yeah, they took care of us in that way and helped us out with that. There were some times when, you know, stuff would not get delivered because it's a little bit of a rural area. So we had to get creative with like, all right, can we ship to our cleaner? Can we ship to our handyman and just give them a heads up?
All right. So, I mean, obviously you're in the path of totality. Like, are you renting them all three that weekend? Was it April 6th or something?
Yeah. We got some bookings for one night stays. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, we got all three booked. That was another big push for us was when we realized, you know, the first one that we had already listed and that we left as is. When we saw that it got booked for a high price, I was like, wait, what's going on here? And the guest messaged us like, oh, we're coming into town for this eclipse. I was like, I didn't know about this. So it was like, hey, we need to get the other units launched so we can capture those mm-hmm. those bookings at the high price. So that was a huge motivator for us to like get it done, right? So yeah, we've gotten them all booked and we're really thankful for that.
Are you going to self-manage?
Yeah, we're figuring out, you know, another big thing that I'm learning as we go here that I want to develop is our automation. But yeah, we're going to self-manage and our mama bear cleaner, shout out to Brenda. She's been so amazing.
Brenda.
She actually has been helping us with like, you know, when we get questions, it might be 7 or 8 in the morning there, but it's 4 or 5 in the morning over here. She'll jump on and respond on our behalf, which I really appreciate. So we're self-managing, but we have the help of the cleaning team that goes above and beyond. And we're looking into, you know, some other tools. Like I loved your guys' episode just recently,
mm-hmm.
the hosting hack, because a lot of the things that I've been wanting to research more, you guys tapped into, like, what are some good PMSs and property management services? And what are some good apps for basically responding automatically to some of those FAQs that guests have, right?
Yep.
So we're learning those things.
Are you compensating Brenda above and beyond? What's the conversation like? Because I think inheriting a cleaner is a touchy subject. Did she tell you, did she want a raise from her old relationship? Is she doing more for you now since she knows you're in California? How did you have a new discussion with what your expectations are versus what the previous owners were? How did you take over that inheritance of an amazing cleaner?
Yeah, the short version is a little bit of all of the above. You know, we talked to the seller and she's like, oh, I got this amazing team. And she's like, they do the cleanings for me for 15 an hour. And I was like, is that even legal? Like, you know, here in California, we're like, dude. So, you know, when we got the property under our names, one of the first conversations that my partner and I had was like, okay, how can we, you know, show appreciation to this team and make them feel compensated and all that? And I was like, well, we could give them like a 20% raise. And I feel like that would be awesome, right? And we presented that to them. And there was just like, I was like, hey, we want to show you how much we appreciate you and we're going to give you this raise. And there was just like crickets for a minute. And then she's like, it's not really the going rate anymore. I was like, oh, okay. All right. Didn't mean to lowball you. But she does manage other properties or clean other properties. And she told us, hey, the going rate right now is 25 an hour. And
go, like, Brenda. Go, we'll Brenda. All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, you know, we appreciated the transparency we just want to make sure she's compensated, right?
Yeah, she's the backbone.
She's
already proven that she's trustworthy. And with you guys both not being there, yeah, that's got to be a strong relationship. My last question for you, Michael, and it might have some more for you, but my last one is, do you know when you guys will start cash flowing?
That's a great question. And just to be clear, you're not talking about like breaking even, right? We're talking just like, okay, monthly expenses.
You're getting paid. Everyone else is getting paid. Your mortgage is getting, all the expenses are getting paid and you're making more money.
Yeah. I, to be honest, I don't know when that tipping point is going to come. I mean, if I could take a stab in the dark and say like, you know, I think that the fall season is definitely is their peak because it's a little fishing town. And that's when some of the, I think it's, I always forget if it's salmon that comes through then, but and we're already starting to get some bookings for fall, which is pretty wild to me. But I think when that season comes, that's when we're really going to start to see a profit and we'll be able to, yeah, just to start cash flowing a pretty good amount there.
Yeah, that's like, so the goal is for you guys to take profit from this business within the next year. Like that's part of your goals.
Yeah, that would be the goal. And that's not to say, you know, we're not going to be able to pay ourselves back for all the investment we've put in.
Okay.
But we'll at least start to hopefully, like by that point, we'll have enough in the LLC account, in the account for the property. And then we'll be able to start hopefully like taking some payments out for ourselves.
I love that.
That's the goal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. My last question is, you're hosting Hot Tip. What is the one thing that you learned the hard way that you hope the other host wouldn't have to learn the hard way or that's helped you out tremendously?
Yeah, I think probably going back to what I said before about the choosing the right markets and doing your homework to analyze so that you don't end up with like, oh man, we're just not making money. So yeah, making sure to get that part right on the onset. That's what's going to be the make or break, right?
Awesome. Well, because I will say this real quick on that note, Michael, which I thought was really great because I think a lot of people might ask, okay, if you don't want it to be oversaturated, but then you also want to have a market where someone's going to want to come and stay. And you had an immediate response when we were talking about that at the airport. You're like, it's a fisherman's town. And people have been coming to these cabins for years now. So there was a market. It seemed pretty stable and that you would at least have that avatar who would come and stay with you. And then hopefully you guys would also put your spin on it to be able to attract other people who might be coming to the area for other reasons. Is that pretty correct?
Oh yeah, you nailed it. Yeah. And you guys are doing an awesome job with just, I love how much you guys hear and then remember all this because man, the details, that's amazing. That's exactly right. Where, you know, finding that balance of it's not oversaturated with listings, but there is a clientele that comes here, right?
Demand. Yeah. It's amazing. Like I can share this. I was like economics class in college, like for some reason, I know the reason now because I didn't have enough life experience. Like that stuff just went over my head and it was probably one of my most difficult, like just supply and demand. And like now it's like so crystal clear to me. I'm like that person that wants to go back now and take that class. But yeah, if the demand is that you can't create the demand, you can't bring, unless it's like some super unique, you know, experience, but it's so important to look at the basic economics of supply and demand. And you're doing that now in your new property. But Michael, thank you for coming up to us at the airport. We'll have to have a follow-up show in like a year, see how all the properties are doing. But you've just gave everybody, I think, like this 3-for-1, you know, your primary residence shared wall deal that is causing you a little bit of pain right now, and then a new venture with seller financing. So you just gave us like a 3-for-1. So
I am soaking in a whole bunch of content right now. Michael. And I just want to give this to you that you are taking action and you're not letting challenges stop you. You are, you know, 5 to 10 years away from everything you ever wanted. And I think that's so cool for you and your family. And to keep your why at the center of everything, and you put it, you know, in your onboarding notes, like you want to spend more time with your wife and kids. And so to keep that laser focus at the forefront, but know that it's going to take hard work and it's going to take time and vigilance and knowing when like to pivot, you know, if that Joshua Tree property, you know, think long and hard about it. I know people are, people don't want to get rid of, me included, right? When it's like, this was not, it didn't turn out the way I wanted it to. And I don't want to get rid of it because then I feel like I failed. But if you can run the numbers and know where you want it to take you and you stay focused on the wife and kid thing, like that's where it's at, right? That's why we do this.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you all so much for the encouragement. It's so good to kind of hear from you all that have so much experience in it. I love that idea of like keeping the laser focus and not getting too attached to a property to be able to make the right call for the lifestyle goals that we have. Cause yeah, it is absolutely emotional, right?
Like it is, it's hard.
This is our baby, right? Yeah. These are our babies.
For sure. And you have family involved. Yeah. It's a lot, but you're crushing it.
You are
crushing it. So we are so thankful for you.
I'm glad that you're our friend now too. So Michael, if anyone wants to check your properties out or learn more about you or like reach out to you, but hey man, how do I go from this job to sales and real estate investing and all that? Where can they reach out to you at?
Yeah, probably the easiest way would be on Instagram, just at Michael_Lakai_real_estate.
We'll link to it. We got you. We got you on the.
Yeah, I appreciate that. But yeah, Michael Lakai Real Estate on Instagram. But yeah, and I guess on that note too, like I'm making this commitment now to step up my posting game because I've been mostly a spectator to this point. So.
People love watching the process. I'm saying this for Ned and me too. People love the process, Michael. So don't be afraid if like the picture isn't like perfect. Like people just love to see, especially where you're at. There are so many people who aren't yet where you're at and they want to be like making moves, right? They're the ones listening to the podcast right now, getting obsessed, getting prepared. So I would love to see the behind the scenes of what you're doing. I think it's so cool. So I love that you're making that commitment. And have fun with it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thanks a lot. Yeah. And, you know, similar to how, when I saw you guys at the airport and came over to say hi, like I would extend that encouragement to people to, do the same. And even for on Instagram, like shoot me a DM if you want to hear more of my story, or for the people that are looking for someone to partner with, like my goal and plan is to partner with more people and, hopefully do some more properties like this with partners.
Cool.
So please reach out, say hi, ask questions. That's what it's all about. I want to be an open book.
I love that. Thank you so much, Michael, for your time and your story. With that, I am Sarah Karakayan.
I'm Annette Grant, and together we are
Thanks for visiting. Talk to you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. Head on over to the show notes for additional information about today's episode. And please hit that subscribe button and leave us a review. Awesome reviews help us bring you awesome content. Thanks for tuning in, and we look forward to hanging out with you next week.
Can we make you a personalized podcast playlist?
Head on over to thehostquiz.com, answer 7 easy questions, and get a unique to your hosting biz playlist of Thanks for Visiting podcast episodes to help you smash your goals.
The action plan and strategies that will elevate your business is one quick quiz and a set of headphones away. Again, head to thehostquiz.com and take our quick hosting quiz today.